You're listening to Strong Runner Chick Radio, where our goal is to educate, empower, and connect female distance runners. If you enjoy this episode, be sure to leave a review on iTunes or any platform of your choosing, or share it with someone who might find this episode helpful. Thanks so much for listening and enjoy the show. Hello, Strong Runner Chicks. Welcome back to another episode of SRC Radio. It's Megan here today, and I'm joined by Stacey Gross, who I'm excited to have joining me. Stacey has been, well, I'd say a longtime follower, but we've been a longtime follower of her too on Instagram. And I just finally figured it's time to have you on the show. I love everything you're doing and what you're all about. And I even noticed that she's a running coach. So I'm excited to dive in for many reasons today, but welcome to the show, Stacey.
Thanks for having me. I'm really excited.
Yeah, thanks for being on. And we're also joined by her dog. Do you want to share your dog's names, kinds for those that like dogs?
I have Lexi here in my lap, and then Lily actually came up to join. So for those that follow along on Instagram, it's Coach Lexi and Lily are in the house today with us.
Oh, do they have their own account?
They do. They do. It's not as attended as much as it used to be, but we try to pop up some photos here and there. But they're usually hogging up stories and reels from time to time.
That's kind of how my dog is. I feel like after a certain point, it's kind of hard to, attend to their own Instagram account and yours. Yeah. And yeah, sounds like you have a lot of fuel in the fire and things going on. So just can't wait to dive in. Yeah. So let's dive a little bit into how you got started initially in running. I see you have a Philadelphia Marathon shirt on. You recently did the Philly Marathon. I do want to hear about that. But how did you first, take your first footsteps in the sport of running?
Well, I think I always kind of dabbled in it more so in adulthood. Like I skipped out of running the mile in high school. I sidelined myself with a quote knee injury, but at the same time, jokes on them, I was still dancing and like performing in the plays and on the dance team. So no one connected those dots ever. But I got out of the mile and then really didn't start running seriously until maybe after we had gotten married. So I took up the whole, we got engaged, got to get into the fitness, got to, sweating for the wedding, whole spiel. And then it kind of just stuck, and kind of went from there. And I had attempted to run a half marathon and wound up having some medical mysteries happening and DNF'd. And then wasn't done with it. So once I got everything kind of under control with a doctor, then got right back into it. This probably took, I'd attempted it in, 2015 maybe, or 2014, I think. And then it took a full year of just kind of figuring out what my body was trying to tell me, and then got back into it. So that's kind of where it started.
Yeah. I think it's really cool that you were able to figure out what your, and probably challenging too, what your body, what was going on and navigating those medical mysteries early on. Cause I know a lot of runners that have run their whole life or, since college or high school, and then they realize that it's taken a toll in some way they haven't known before, on health or whatever it might be. So yeah, that's tricky though.
Yeah. It was scary just because no one could figure out what was going on. So basically I wasn't able to stand, sit, anything for longer than a minute without getting some really, really severe vertigo. And some people just said it was anxiety. One person said I had something as extreme as having MS, and then finally found someone to look at my MRIs, and it just showed that the top part of my spine was in the full circle. So traditionally, a lot of us hold our tension up in our neck and our shoulders, right? Well, mine just a little bit more extreme because of that. And that's how I was born like that. There's, a few, it's not common, and I was one of the lucky ones. But I learned how to kind of deal with it. And when life stressors get really, really high is when that kind of that vertigo might come back around. But I know to go get maybe a manipulation or use something at home to kind of relieve the pressure from the bottom of my head, kind of where the neck and that meets.
Yeah. So. Is that just a matter of like chiropractic then?
Kind of. Yeah. I saw an osteopathic doctor and he gave what I called, and more so non-medical terms, like the best head massage you will ever get in your life.
So, well, that's a plus.
Yes. Yeah. Luckily have not needed it in the like last 2 years. So I'm very grateful that things are under control, and I've ran 2 full marathons, a ton of half marathons. And it's something I never thought I was going to be able to do if I was never able to figure out what the heck was going on. So,
yeah. Well, thank you for sharing so candidly. I know a lot of people have gone through medical experiences, whether it's been a mystery or something easy to diagnose, but probably helpful to hear from you, especially for anyone that's gone through that or something similar, and that you're still able to run even so. Yeah.
I mean, I don't like being defeated, I guess. So I was going to figure out what it was. And, you know, as a lot of people always say, like, you have to be your best advocate. So anyone going through any type of medical thing, whether you know what it is or not, like, you just have to keep fighting for yourself until like you get those answers that you know are the correct answers.
Absolutely. Yeah. Being your own advocate is super important. So in terms of running and coming back into that and how you sort of progressed, it sounds like with some half marathons to start and half is not a small, you know, thing to start with. So starting with halves and getting more into fulls, what was your first full marathon and what was that training experience like?
So I had done the halves and I said, I'm never doing a full. This is god awful. Probably like all of us have at some point or another. And then I wanted to run a full marathon before I turned 30. So that became the Philadelphia 2018 marathon. I turned 30 maybe a week or two after crossing that marathon finish line. So I cut it super close to make that goal. That training cycle, I worked with a coach and she was great. And I was just still so new that like all of the unexpected things that could happen probably did happen that day, where my stomach was wonky and my nerves were through the roof. And just, I hit my wall at mile 8 instead of like that hypothetical mile 20 wall. And I walked if I needed to walk, I ran, I jogged, I leaned on, you know, the people I had along this course to support me, and I finished it. Like there was no way in heck that I was not going to cross that finish line after training through probably one of the wettest and hottest summers here in Philly. Like I was getting that medal.
Whether based in Philly then.
I am.
Yeah.
I finished it. And at that point I said, I'm not like, this is it. I'm done. Like I did my one marathon and I'm content. But that changed maybe a year or two later when I applied for Berlin and the Chicago Marathon lotteries, got into both thinking I would get into
New York.
Then COVID hit. So we all know what happened with that. And then I wound up deferring Chicago. So I just ran Chicago this past October, and totally different experience from 2018. In the best way imaginable. I had a 20-minute PR and just went into it with the mindset of having fun. And that's exactly what I did. I had fun. I was so proud of myself and grew in ways I probably would never have if like we weren't set up with those walls of COVID. If I didn't have to pivot the way I did, I don't think I would be the athlete I am talking to you today.
That's really cool to think about how much that shaped you. It sounds like those experiences.
Yeah, for sure.
How did you find the, I guess, mental fortitude, for lack of a better term, to like push through in those hard moments, especially in your first marathon and in some of those tougher moments in your earlier in your career?
I think early on I just always have the mentality that I don't like being defeated. So I'm going to figure out a way to get whatever said goal is done, even if it looks differently. So I think that has a lot to do with just from the life I had growing up and always fighting for something and dealing with really, really challenging situations and coming through the other side in a positive way. So marathons are freaking hard, but like I kept my head in the game as best as I could. And that goal just became to get to the finish line. So putting that one foot in front of the other, taking it 1 mile at a time was, you know, the mantras I use for everything in the running world.
Yeah, most definitely. And I know you said you worked with a coach, as well as it sounds like community maybe has played a bit of a role in your running journey. I'd love to know how, like, when you first started running, did you start to get involved in any running groups or any way that you connected with other runners?
Yeah, the running community here in Philadelphia is huge. There are a ton of different running groups and just people that you can kind of sync up with and run. At that time, there was probably a good chunk. And even now, that's probably tripled in the amount of run groups that there are. So I found a community that worked for me at that time and participated in weekly group runs or did our long runs together with a few of the other girls in the group. And even just here on social media, like that kind of journey of training for the 2018 first ever full marathon was kind of how this Instagram account took its turn to a fitness direction as opposed to the events driven direction that it was prior. Just leaning on other athletes who have trained before and putting up, you know, my different accomplishments, because every time I ran a farther distance was like a PB for me, right? Because it was the first time ever running or training for a marathon. So just kind of celebrating those tiny wins with other people that kind of understood where I was coming from. And even up to today, like celebrating other athletes and celebrating other friends from Instagram who are across the world, but are still doing that one thing that kind of, you know, brings us together, running. So the community is incredible. And I've been fortunate enough with running the Chicago Marathon and then being here in Philly for the race weekend a month ago, meeting some of these people in person. And it's just like, wow, like it's coming full circle now, which some of you might never, ever meet the people from Instagram that you talk to and support daily, but
yeah, it's magical it though, when it happens.
Yeah. Yeah.
Super, super cool. I love it. And so now you're actually a coach yourself. And yes. So I wanted to ask a little bit about how you got into that role, like how you got connected with, it sounds like Amanda from Run to the Finish.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Awesome. And then what that experience has been like for you.
Yeah. I was starting out originally getting my personal trainer certification with NASM, and that kind of just got put on hold with COVID. And I had always also wanted to get the running cert, but I was choosing to do that second, but that came much sooner than planned. So I had done that and then was kind of casually coaching a few friends, but I didn't want to be held liable if anything like went wrong or they got injured. So I was like, let me get certified first and then we can continue talking. So we did after that. And I wanted to give back to the community. I wanted to give more for something that has helped me so much in so many ways. And getting that certification was kind of just the icing on the cake. And then with Amanda, I had read her book many, many times and was supposed to go to her book tour when she was coming here up in New York. And then that had gotten canceled, unfortunately, with what was going on in the world. So it was kind of just a Instagram and a Facebook kind of relationship. And one day she had posted something about coaching and I reached out and I have never looked back. She is an incredible mentor and has created such a strong and inspiring community that like I'm so happy to be a part of it. And even all of the coaches are incredible and inspiring and we all work together to kind of help runners reach their goals.
That's awesome. Yeah, such a rewarding part. I coach a bit too, and just love helping other people get to their goals. And so definitely agree with you. Sometimes it takes you back to when you first got started or, you know, remembering what your first marathon was like or your first half and how to build up to that. So super cool. Yeah. And then I just wondered too, for those that maybe want to get started in, I just think you do a really good job on social media. It sounds like you are really personable and connected to a lot of people. Yeah. Do you have any tips for someone maybe that's listening who either wants to get started with coaching or just with sharing more of their running journey and kind of how you maybe overcame some of those hurdles?
I think it's just like, listen to your heart. If it's something that you have a passion for and you want to help other people, there's so many different types of running certifications out there. So start to do your research and kind of ask around to those of us on Instagram who have all of them and have been doing it for a little bit, see what the pros and cons are and see what best fits what you're looking for and what you're looking to get out of it. And just, you know, use social media for your journey. It can be very tough and it can become a huge comparison game. But at the end of the day, you have to remember, like, why are you doing it? Are you doing it for you? Are you doing it for other runners? What's that why? I try to be as genuine as possible when I'm posting, and I'm a very artistic person. I've been that way my entire life. So some of it can come very easy, but some of it can also be very challenging. But I never want to sugarcoat anything. So I try to just, like, what you see there is kind of what you're going to get in person. And I think a lot of the people who have met me recently can kind of be like, yep, that's definitely true.
Yeah. I always think it's nice to show up in a way that people meet you in person and they're like, mm-hmm. Oh, you're the same person you are online. Yep. And that's encouraging too.
Yep.
Yeah. And so, speaking of artistic, you're pretty well known for your glass, runs on coffee or runs on iced coffee.
Iced coffee. Don't forget the ice.
Coffee. I like hot coffee. Hot coffee. I know you like ice. So runs on iced coffee. You have a glass and a hashtag that's pretty famous now and out there. How did this all get started? And I also want to know just like how you take your coffee.
I don't even know, to be honest with you, I've always drank iced coffee, and ever since training for the marathon in 2018, I've always posted a picture of either me holding my iced coffee cup or on the countertop, whatever it is. So it kind of just became part of my brand or my niche. And then one thing led to another, and I had gotten a gift of stickers from the Runnergrams account. And I was like, oh, this is really cool. And so I reached out to her to see if she could make a logo for me. And my husband developed his own kind of COVID business, a business that came out of the whole COVID situation. So I was like, well, why can't we just add this to the mix? And we made the glass and it sold out within the first 24 hours. And then we restocked. Now we're kind of dealing with some production difficulties, but that's kind of how it came. And it's so cool seeing what, like, out there in the Instagram world, like, I made that, like,
that is so cool. Yeah. To make a product like that.
Yeah. Awesome. I mean, that's the whole thing, right? It's about creating community. Sorry, Lexi has some things to say.
She likes iced coffee too. Yeah. But, about creating community.
Yes. It's great. Like, not everyone likes iced coffee 365 days a year. Like I do. I know we're a very rare breed, but
even in Philadelphia.
Yes. We can all come together with the love of running and coffee, whether it's iced coffee, hot coffee, latte, cappuccino.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. Like, we can all go for a run and then enjoy a cup of coffee after the fact. But I take my coffee, usually 2 shots of espresso over ice if I'm making it at home, or if I'm on the go, it'll be some backyard beans iced coffee. It comes in a can and I'll just pour it over ice and kind of take it with me in a to-go cup.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I was wondering how you do it from home, if you always go out for coffee or you have your routine.
Yeah. So Fridays and like the weekend are kind of like a treat yourself. So I might go out and get it. Definitely on Saturdays, if I go for a long run, my husband picks me up and we have a shop that we like. So we'll go, he'll get a chai because he does not do coffee. And then I'll get my black iced coffee.
Yeah. Some people don't do coffee at all. So
yeah, he does not like it. He'll tolerate the smell, but it's not his favorite.
I feel like we could do a whole episode on coffee. I probably could make my coffee famous because I do the little like steamed foamed milk and then I make my own cappuccino essentially. And I tend to post it, but gosh, that's so cool to have your own cup out there.
Yeah.
Your own glass.
It's so crazy. Yeah. We're trying to expand. So there might be other things coming soon that will not only be for the iced coffee community. So those of you who are listening, keep your eyes out.
Yeah. Speaking of goals, I wanted to ask about upcoming, like looking ahead to the new year, people are starting to think about, you know, what races do you want to do next year? What maybe goals you have in or outside of running? Is there anything that you're hoping for in the new year?
I feel like a lot of people finished their races for 2021 and immediately knew what was coming next. And I really, really struggled with that. I finished Chicago and then I knew I had the Philly half marathon still to run, but that was just purely to run it because it's in my hometown. But as I did not know what was the next thing. So it's kind of taking me the last 2 months to kind of figure it out. So at least for the spring, I'm going to be focusing on the shorter distances. So probably the 5K or the 10K. So getting faster in those. And then I'm waiting to hear back on a few lotteries to see if I'll be doing a fall marathon or not. And then I might also, I guess I'll put this out into the world, I might do a half Ironman. big night, because I don't like swimming. I don't care for swimming. I don't want to get in a pool to go swimming. But I know in order to be successful, I need to do that part of the training. Yeah, so yeah, that would be a huge, I guess, at least mental hurdle to get over to kind of break into that world. But I definitely want to do one at some point. Just TBD if 2022 will be the year or not.
Oh my gosh. Same here, actually. And I don't like swimming either. So
no. I've done, well, not an Ironman. I've done one triathlon.
Yeah.
And swimming was the worst part. But it was also my fault because, now those of you listening, don't do this. I got in the pool once to train.
Oh.
And the second time was race day. So I was like, I can just, like, you know, lean on the lane lines if I need to. No, it doesn't work that way.
No.
So
yeah.
Don't get that on your training.
Oh, but you were in a pool, right? Because I don't know if I do my first one in an open water swim.
No, it was in the pool. That's the only reason I signed up for it, because I had the crutch of it being in a pool.
Oh.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm kind of wondering if I should give myself that crutch or should I just go for, like, the open water?
I would not recommend it if you're not going to. I would train.
Definitely. All right. Good words of wisdom. Well, I hope you find a good Ironman, half Ironman that suits you next year. Did you have one in mind, or are you just kind of on the fence?
I have to look at them. Open water really scares me.
Yeah.
So I want to try to find one of the lower key ones.
Just tell spectators, like, you know, if your husband's there, like, be on the lookout.
Get your binoculars. Yes. But if anyone has suggestions, feel free to message me if you have a half Ironman that you really enjoyed.
There we go. Yeah, I'd certainly be reaching out with training tips, because it's always interesting to hear the different ways that people train.
Yeah.
They do bricks. You put a few together.
Yeah.
Neat. So do you have any tips for someone? And of course, this is like an over-asked question, but maybe there's someone listening out there who's either just getting started in running, or maybe you've been running a while and you have a family member or friend or someone who's like, hey, I kind of want to get into running. How do I get started? What are your go-to kind of tips or addressing any sort of misconceptions that new runners have?
I think the biggest thing is don't get intimidated. There's so much information out there with, like, so many different directions that you can go to start, where when it comes from the gear to the fueling to how much mileage you should be doing when. There's just so much out there. And I would highly recommend just kind of take it small chunks at a time. Get out there and just kind of see how it feels to maybe run a few miles, you know, 1 to 3. There's really no rhyme or reason to it, and see how that feels. And then kind of go a little bit farther each week. Make sure you're adding in the strength training. Again, take it very small and simple. You don't need to go out and be doing the crazy challenges you see on Instagram. Like, take it and just do body weight exercises, and then do bands, and then add in the dumbbells and the bars and all of the more extreme strength training, if you want to call it that. But do what is enjoyable to you. Don't look at what everyone else is doing. See what works best for you and what will help you achieve your goals. And if you need a little bit more motivation, there are a plethora of coaches out there that you can work with. I even have a coach myself, because I like having that extra accountability. While I could make my own plans, I like having someone there that I can kind of, you know, bounce training ideas off of. And I know that she is going to put the workouts up and keep me accountable to them, as opposed to slacking off. But again, test coaches out. If there's a coach and you're working with him or her and it's not working, then have that conversation with them, have that hard conversation, and maybe things can be changed. Maybe they can't. And then just see who else is out there. There's nothing wrong with that. Like, and I think as a good coach, you need to realize that, that it's not against you. It just, everything's not always going to click that easily.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Communication is key too.
Yeah, so absolutely.
And I've had different coaches at different periods of my life or during different training. I was so into obstacle course racing for a while, and now that's something like a blip on the radar. Or if you're getting into triathlons or, you know, road and trails, pretty different from one another. So find a coach that kind of gets what kind of training you're doing and specializes in that.
Totally agree.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I would certainly, if someone's like wanting to run 100 meters out there, right? That's like not my jam. So I guess we know too where to stay in our lane as coaches and what our go-to events are. So
exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. So what does life look like outside of running? Like in terms of, you know, family, career, any hobbies?
Yeah, I think I try to keep my Instagram very runner fitnessy focused, but that's not my like end all be all. So I have the two dogs and, you know, my husband, and we love traveling. We love cooking, and we especially love going to like gardens. So there's a local gardens here in Philadelphia called, or outside of Philadelphia, it's called Longwood Gardens, and we're members there. So we go maybe 2 to 3 times a month, just to walk around, kind of enjoy nature and check out what displays they have going on. We don't have the greatest looking garden at our house.
That's all right.
We like looking at what other people do. So running is just a small, small portion, I guess, of my life. I'm fortunate enough that I'm a run coach, but then also my full-time job does involve work with athletes as well. And it's those who are fundraising for cancer research. So they're putting a little bit more meaning behind their miles or a little bit more meaning behind their workouts, whether it's CrossFit or cycling. So we're there to kind of help them do that, because in some way, someone has been affected by cancer, whether it's themselves or a family member or a friend. So it's kind of bringing my worlds together, I guess you could say.
That's really cool. Mm-hmm. I have a friend who touches on that work with a team. They're called like the Immerman Angels in Chicago, but I know there's just groups throughout the US that you're even focused on cancer survivors and family members who have gone through that. Do you have any suggestions for someone that wants to get involved in like giving back in some way in their running? Like, where do you kind of get started with that?
I think it's just like with getting started for running, do your research. There are a ton of ways. I mean, there's Girls on the Run. If you want to be kind of like an in-person mentor for young girls in elementary schools, or it's something like what I do for my job, you can do fundraising for some sort of nonprofit, whether it's cancer related or not. There are a ton of options out there. It's just kind of finding what hits home for you and what pulls at your heartstrings, and then see what's out there for you to connect in that way. And I think it helps with the motivation when you're running a race. Like I tell all my athletes, I like to dedicate a mile to everybody, like to an individual, to get me to that finish line. So if you're adding that fundraising element into it, it really does help power you through the race and get you across to that finish line, because it's putting that more meaning behind your miles type thing.
I love the meaning behind the miles kind of tagline. Yeah. That's really cool. Yeah, I'm just trying to get more into that in terms of like how can you fundraise around your events and do that in a way that, you know, is meaningful for you, for a cause you care about. Yeah. Very cool. So let's see what else. We have just a couple more questions that we typically ask, but I wanted to give you a chance. Are there any other topics, especially in terms of like the women's running world, that you're passionate about?
I think it's
fired
just
up about. Yeah.
Something that I post a lot, I'm very positive on Instagram. I know. And I'm sure some people are probably like, that's phony baloney. There's no way you're always positive. But shitty runs happen. Yeah. Shitty workouts happen. I have bad days. But I think you always need to look at how can you take a negative situation and what's that maybe one minuscule thing that you learned from it that kind of can help you to grow. You know, I had a very shitty childhood growing up. And I don't think I would be as positive and strong of a woman that I am today if I didn't go through those obstacles, you know, being a child of abuse and then living with another parent who had a ton of health issues and then passing away when I was only 17. Like, I dealt with some shit, and that gave me such a different perspective on life. And I think that's where all the passion comes from, and wanting to make a difference in the community and wanting to help other people out, because they were pretty dark times, and I could have went in a very dark direction, but I chose to go in the positive direction and really take those situations and kind of, I guess, fuel that fire that I have now.
That's a really amazing way to look at it, just in terms of how you've come around and to see it in that way. Mm-hmm. I also, along those lines too, wanted to ask what advice you would give to your younger self looking back.
I think just the shit you went through was worth it. That's, I think, a really weird thing to say, but I don't know if I would be the way I am today if I wasn't faced with those obstacles. I mean, I was in the seventh grade and was being abused, like physically and emotionally and mentally, all of it. And I could have totally just like quit everything and did nothing, but I turned around and was in every activity in school and didn't let any of it get to me. It's kind of like, I just rolled it off my back and kept going. So I think, yeah, it'll all pay off in the end. So I'm very grateful for where I'm at today.
Yeah. Were those things that you reminded yourself of at the time? I imagine, like, being that age, that's just such a tough time in general. I know I struggled a lot in middle school, but just reminding yourself that things would get better.
I don't know if I said those things at that age, because it was just like my world's crumbling around me, and I was basically wound up being an orphan type thing. And I have a very incredible, loving extended family that took me under their wing and treated me as their own. And I know I'm an only child, but I say I have like a fake three siblings, because that's what wound up happening when I was finishing up high school once my dad passed away. So it's important, whether they're blood related or not, it's important to have a strong support system behind you. And I say the same thing within the running too. Like, it's important to have a team behind you. Running is a solo sport, yes, but no. We can't get to the start line without our family, our friends, our coaches, our physical therapists, our therapists. The whole list continues growing, you know, and we wouldn't be, you know, towing those start lines without these individuals.
Well said. Yeah, we have to remember who's around us, who's behind us, and who's with us. Lastly, what does being a strong runner chick mean to you? That is our last question.
I think, you know, you could take it in a physical way. I mean, being a strong ass woman, what runner, all of that could be lifting heavy, but it's not. It's being strong physically, and I think, and strong mentally. You have to fight through those walls and get through the tough part of training and get through the tough part of life and kind of pull from all of the areas in life, whether it's athleticism or professionally. How can that all kind of come full circle, and how can you use that to fuel your fire? So it's not just I can lift X amount of weights thing. It's way, way beyond that.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's amazing too, just to reflect on when I started this whole thing and how much I thought strength was physical capacity, being strong. And now it's like, no, like, even if you don't lift weights, like, I still think you can be a strong runner chick. There's so many ways to be strong. Even someone that's injured, you know, that even makes you more resilient. So yeah.
I never realized how much like the mental piece played into everything until this last training cycle. Like, I had made that attempt to do the sub 2.5 in the spring, and so many things went wrong. And then just really tried to focus on the mental part of training and worked on it and listened to podcasts and talked to my coach and my PT and just different strategies that I could use. And it really, really paid off come Chicago. So don't forget about that part of training. Yes, there's the physical. I need to become physically strong to run fast, run farther, whatever it is. but there's that mental internal side of things.
100%. Yeah, well said. So I lied. We have one more question. That's just how listeners can connect with you and how to follow along and where can they get their Runs on Ice coffee glass if they want to get on the pre-sale list.
Yes. So I am all over on Instagram. So it's one of those usernames that have underscores. So it's S_Gross. And that's GROSS. Send me a DM, comment on posts, whatever you have, feel free to send that way. And then we're working on hopefully restocking the glasses. So I'm hoping we'll be up by the new year, but I cannot say that for certain. So bear with us as we're restocking and keep your eyes peeled for maybe a new product.
Oh, what can I say? That's a good sign that you're sold out. So to keep making them. Awesome. All right. Well, thank you so much, Stacy. And for anyone listening, we'll be sure to tag Stacy in the comments too, so you can check out her Instagram and follow along there. And of course, you could hire Stacy as a coach as well and support her through the Runs on Ice coffee glass and, you know, support yourself too, because you got to have a glass for your iced coffee. So, all right. Thank you, Strong Runner Chicks. And thank you, Stacy, for joining us.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Strong Runner Chicks Radio. Do us a favor and leave a review in iTunes to help spread awareness and foster the SRC community. Additionally, make sure to follow us on Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter at Strong Run Chicks.